Is it Ms. Bothy?
It is.
Good morning to you. Now, let's give everybody a second to get in and out. You may proceed.
I'd like to reserve 1 minute for rebuttal, please. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Megan Bothy, and on behalf of Douglas County, Nebraska, I ask you to reverse the district court's finding that Ms. White is indigent and the court's order that the county pay her share of the guardian ad litem fees for three reasons. One, the evidence in the record plainly shows that Ms. White is not indigent. Two, the district court abused its discretion by applying the wrong legal standard to determine indigency, shifting the focus from the party's ability to pay to the guardian ad litem's ability to collect payment. And three, the district court violated Douglas County's due process rights by looking back to October 2012, at the time Mr. McGow was first appointed as guardian ad litem, to determine her indigency more than 2 years later in December of 2014.
Have we generally said that counties as governmental entities don't have due process rights?
Not in relation to this statute. The Court of Appeals in Bracken v. Bracken stated that the fundamental due process rights belong to counties in such that counties should receive notice of an application for payment from a guardian ad litem, receive notice that indigency of a spouse is at issue, and have the opportunity to be heard in opposition to such issue.
And from what constitutional provision does that due process right stem?
I believe it's just a procedural due process of notice to counties. It's found in the 5th and 14th Amendments. Here, this is actually also adopted into local court rules. So it applies the 4th Judicial District, which Douglas County is part of, states that if the indigency of a party is at issue such that a county may be ordered to pay, the court-appointed guardian ad litem must serve notice of the application for fees upon the county attorney. Mr. McGow, who practices in the 4th Judicial District, which Douglas County is part of, did not serve notice of his original application for payment of fees, which he filed in January of 2014.
At that point, did he have any reason in the world to believe that there were indigency issues at all in the case?
I don't believe so. There's no record of indigency. Ms. White had a private divorce attorney. She did not raise the issue of indigency at the February 2014 hearing on that application.
And I can't imagine that the county attorney is asking for notice every single time there is an application by a GAL to be paid.
That's correct. It's only if indigency is at issue. In that case, the district court actually admitted that it did not find Ms. White indigent in February of 2014, and it ordered her to pay her share of the guardian ad litem fees. It also ordered Mr. White to pay his share. He paid. Ms. White did not.
Counsel, what is your position that she was not indigent?
So a finding of indigency must be based on evidence in the record. Here, the record is clear that Ms. White had the ability to pay for the necessities of life and for legal counsel.
What was the evidence before the court?
With her salary of $41,000 a year from her employer, the University of Nebraska, Omaha, Ms. White was able to pay for a lot of things. Her monthly expenses included a gym membership, Netflix, services through Cox Communications, including cable television, phone, and internet, two smartphones, each with a data plan.
So is your position that they weren't necessities?
Yes. I think the things she was paying for can hardly be characterized as the necessities of life.
Has her liability been erased by the bankruptcy court?
It has, which is an unfortunate position for Mr. McGow, but that does not mean that she's indigent in which the county should have to pay.
But Douglas, isn't the reason to determine indigency is whether or not she can pay the bill, but she already has a ruling from the bankruptcy court that she doesn't have to pay the bill.
Well, so she was ordered first to pay, and she didn't. The district court found her capable of paying, which is another way of saying she's not indigent, and ordered her to pay.
Well, the order would be a debt owed by the wife to the guardian, right?
Correct. And she scheduled...
And then she filed bankruptcy and had that debt discharged.
That's correct.
So how does the court then order someone else to pay that debt that's been discharged?
I don't believe the court has authority to do so in that case. That debt belonged to Ms. White, and it's no longer in existence. Here, bankruptcy is only a factor and is not dispositive of indigency. For example, Donald Trump...
Doesn't that make her legally indigent?
No, she had all of her debt erased, so now she's making $41,000 a year and has no debt that she needs to take care of. You know, the fact that she didn't pay Mr. McGow was simply a matter of prioritization. She chose to pay for things like dining out twice a week, dry cleaning, Netflix. She sent one of her sons to golf camp. These things are not the necessities of life. This court stated that a party is indigent if he or she is unable to pay the guardian ad litem fees without prejudicing in a meaningful way his or her ability to pay for the necessities of life, which are food, clothing, shelter, and medical care for himself or herself or his or her legal dependents.
Well, what is our standard of review?
A finding of indigency cannot be set aside unless the district court has abused its discretion. Here, the district court did not cite any evidence to support its finding of indigency, which is a requirement that was established in Mitchell v. French, that a finding of indigency must be based on evidence in the record. The district court stated that Ms. White was indigent because her monthly expenses exceeded her earning capacity. Earning capacity is not the standard for indigency. In fact, no evidence regarding her earning capacity was offered or is part of the record. The district court did not cite any evidence to support its finding regarding either her earning capacity or, more importantly, her indigence, which is required by statute. Nebraska Revised Statute, Chapter 42, Section 358, Subsection 1, states that a county may be ordered to pay a guardian ad litem's fees if the responsible party is indigent. This statute must be given its plain and ordinary meaning, which is that a county will pay if the responsible party is indigent, not that the county will pay if the responsible party has his or her debt discharged in bankruptcy. The court needs to give effect to the statute.
Did Mr. McGaw make some kind of a claim in the bankruptcy court?
He did not take any action in the bankruptcy court, which was part of the record. That was part of the questioning in one of the hearings. He admitted to the district court that he took no action. This is, even though...
Is that at all relevant here?
Well, I believe so. I think it goes to show that he simply thought that the county would act as an insurance company. The county and its taxpayers are not guarantors of every single guardian ad litem's payments. They are only guarantors when the party that is responsible for payment is indigent, which is not the case here. So his inaction in bankruptcy, I think, is a reflection of what happened. He took a second bite at the apple by submitting a second application for payment of fees. When he submitted that second application, Ms. White was already in bankruptcy, had a federally imposed stay on her estate, had hired a private bankruptcy attorney. This was her second private attorney within the span of 2012 to 2014. And the standard for indigency itself looks at a party's ability to pay counsel. Here, Ms. White was paying counsel. She paid for a private bankruptcy attorney and a private divorce attorney. She simply chose not to pay her guardian ad litem fees. It wasn't that she was unable. It was that she was unwilling. And I think that's the crux of the matter here, is that there is no evidence of indigency. Without such, the court should not be able to make an unreasonable finding of indigency simply to ensure a court-appointed guardian ad litem can receive payment. I think that is the very essence of an abuse of discretion.
Assume that we buy on with this and we write it the way that you, I think, are suggesting that we write it. Won't that make potential guardians ad litem quite reluctant to serve in the future? Isn't it going to be an unintended consequence that would follow from that sort of decision?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Clearly, people are still taking court-appointed work, and in this case, there are rules. If indigency is a possibility, they're supposed to notice in the county. People who are practicing in this line of work know that, and it didn't occur in this case.
The heart of the problem really is that indigency is one standard, and the bankruptcy standard for dischargeability is a much more, I'm not liberal in the sense of greater standard.
I mean, I think it is unfortunate for what occurred here, but that is not the burden of Douglas County or its taxpayers.
Thank you very much. Mr. McGaugh, good morning.
Good morning. Your Honors, Chief Justice, may it please the court. My name is Jim McGaugh. I'm appearing as the attorney for the minor children. Really, the issue is, what's the standard of care, or what's the standard of review in this case?
Abuse of discretion, isn't it?
It is abuse of discretion. But I think the way the county's arguing particularly
me, in I hear counsel arguing that the judge didn't follow a statute in making this determination of indigency.
I think the record is clear, Judge, that the trial court, the district court, did actually do that. There was a number of hearings in this case. One of the hearings, the first hearing, which was on June 16th of 2014, at that hearing there was or 2015, at that hearing, the affidavit of the indigent person, Mrs. White, was offered and received by the court. That clearly demonstrates indigency. Additionally, at the subsequent hearing on September the 3rd, the county called her as a witness and went through, and at that point, the bankruptcy had already been determined, her debts had been discharged in bankruptcy, and the county went through what her annual income was and went through all of her monthly expenses that were independent of any debts that were discharged at the bankruptcy court. And her monthly payments clearly demonstrated that she didn't have the ability to pay without substantially affecting her ability to care for her kids.
What about the gym memberships and the various other things that would not appear to affect?
At the time of the hearing on September the 3rd, when she was asked about that, she said she no longer had that gym membership, that was part of the original affidavit that was offered back in June. But the testimony from the hearing on September 3rd, she said she no longer paid those expenses. There was some testimony about Netflix and that kind of thing. There was also some testimony that she took her sons, it's a joint custody arrangement, what it ultimately ended up being, and she took her sons on Wednesday evenings when she had them to either McDonald's or Pizza Hut. That was the dining out. But there wasn't a dollar figure given on that. So when you look at the dollar figures that she gave, here's my utilities, here's my gas expenses, here is my monthly, here's my rent, here's my monthly expenses, those things that the county is drawing your attention to weren't given a financial value. So they're independent of, here's her monthly expenses, here's her monthly income. It doesn't work out financially.
Mr. McGaugh, at the outset, you would concede that she was not indigent.
I wouldn't concede that, Judge.
Well, no notice was, nobody took the position
at the outset that she
was indigent. I mean, that indigency claims arose with the benefit of hindsight, didn't they?
No. So unlike a situation where you've got a determination on criminal restitution, where the court has to make a finding that the person's got the ability to pay, in these kind of fees, this statute at issue doesn't require the court to make any finding of ability to pay. So the issue of can they pay the bill doesn't really come up usually at the beginning when the attorney submits the bill, unless one of the parties says, hey, one of the attorneys or one of the parties says, hey, I can't pay the bill or my client can't pay the bill, you might want to notice in the county. But in the garden variety...
Is it your duty to notice in the county?
Yes,
and
it is.
When did you do that?
So I had the hearing on the division. She did not show up at that hearing. Neither she nor her attorney showed up at that hearing. The court divided the money 50-50. She was given 30 days to pay. After 45 days, we filed a contempt action because she had not paid. And when she was brought in on the contempt action, that's when she said for the first time, I'm indigent, I can't pay. At that point, the hearing was continued. notice was given to the county. We need to have a hearing because now the issue of indigency has been raised. So the hearing was continued, the county was brought in, and that was the first hearing on June the 16th.
If you're not successful in getting your fees from the county, can you now go back on Ms. White and try and collect from her?
No, Your Honor.
Because that's been discharged in bankruptcy.
It's been discharged in bankruptcy. But I would note this. I would note that at the time that the hearing came up on June the 16th, okay, she's filed for bankruptcy, I asked at that point for a hearing on indigency, that was independent of her bankruptcy filing. It didn't really have anything to do with it. Because, as Judge Castle indicated, that's a different standard. So the question was she indigent at the time that the fees were requested and at the time that the fees were ordered for her to be paid? And at that point, the court deferred making a determination until the bankruptcy was discharged. So really, the question wasn't, can she pay it? The question really was, is she going to be found indigent or not? And at that point, I think it becomes a decision of whether or not the bill is worth collecting at all. If the court would have made a finding that she was not indigent, I don't know that we would have pursued this any further.
Does the fact that you made no attempt to collect in bankruptcy have any relevancy to this?
I don't believe so, Judge, for the reason that the affidavit was offered at that June 16th hearing, and according to that affidavit, at that time, her expenses outweighed her monthly income. And so our position was it doesn't matter what happens at the bankruptcy proceeding, she's indigent. What gets charged or doesn't get charged really isn't the issue.
What if we disagree with you and the court on the figures that were put into evidence about whether or not she could pay without substantially affecting? What if we think the judge was wrong then?
Well, if you find that he was unreasonably wrong or that the evidence was or the decision was untenable with the evidence, then I think that
do we have to find that or did we have to find that he abused his discretion? Or is that the same thing?
I think the Watkins case defines that abuse of discretion as that the decision was untenable or unreasonable based upon the evidence that was offered. So I think you would have to make that determination.
What if we made that determination? Then what happens?
Well, if you find that he abused his discretion, I think I lose. I think the county wins. So I'm asking you not to do that.
And if we don't do that, is it the message we're sending that people can spend their way into indigency?
I don't believe so. I think it's fact specific. I think that the court gave very careful consideration of the evidence in this case, received the affidavit twice at two different hearings, heard extended testimony from Mrs. White in regards to her income, and then asked the parties to brief it and didn't issue a ruling for several months. I'm sorry, Judge.
Does the bankruptcy have any relevance here?
I don't believe so.
None at all?
I don't believe so. A good number of these cases, when somebody comes in and they claim indigency, it's not bankruptcy dependent. It's an independent determination of can they pay the bills without substantially affecting these other items. Irregardless of what happens, if there's a bankruptcy filing or not a bankruptcy filing. So I don't believe it has any real bearing on this. I think if anything, it puts an exclamation point on the fact that she is indigent. I think it verifies that in another form.
Does it make her legally indigent?
Well, that's probably a better question for a bankruptcy attorney. I would say yes, but I guess the question is, when do you look at the indigency? I think that's ultimately the question. Do you look at it before the bankruptcy or after the bankruptcy? But I think what's important is all of the expenses, all of her monthly expenses that she delineated at that hearing on September 3rd, they all survived the bankruptcy. They weren't debts that were discharged. They were monthly expenses.
Mr. McGowan, let's assume for the moment that she was not indigent at the time that she was initially ordered to pay.
Okay.
If she and she's been ordered to pay half the fees, and she subsequently, during the course of the proceedings, but after the fees are incurred, becomes indigent, does the court have the power at that point to retroactively determine that guardian ad litem fees are payable by the county because of the subsequent indigency?
I think so. And I think it would depend upon where you're drawing that line. So the court orders it to be paid, but orders it to be paid within 30 days. I think if the indigency occurs within that 30-day time period, maybe we're in a different position than we were if it's after the 30-day
time
period.
But it's once the time for payment that was specified in the order has come and gone, isn't that issue of indigency basically determined?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question, Your Honor?
Assuming she was not indigent when she was ordered to pay.
Okay.
And whatever time that she was initially given has expired, and there's been no claim of indigency to that point, isn't subsequent indigency doesn't affect the county's responsibility?
I think to adopt that kind of position would require what Justice Stacy was talking about, would require attorneys on these kind of cases to provide notice to the county every time. Because attorneys, like myself, don't know that somebody's indigent or can't pay their bill until they say, I can't pay my bill. And a lot of times, it's after that time period that you've talked about.
Well, there typically aren't there really three. They're the ones that are clearly, obviously indigent.
Yes.
They're the ones that clearly, obviously aren't indigent. But then there's this gray area in between.
Yes.
And are we dealing with one of those gray areas?
I think so. I think so. And I think the Richter case talks about that frivolous spending isn't necessarily a determination of indigency or not. I think it's just a matter of their expenses and their income and that determination.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time to rebut? 3 seconds. We'll give you 30 seconds if you would like, Ms. Bowdy.
I would appreciate 30 seconds, Your Honor. Thank you.
You got it.
I would just like to say, Mr. McGough said in his argument that her expenses outweighed her monthly income. That is not the standard for indigency. It's whether she can pay for the necessities of life.
But,
and some of these...
it's an abuse of discretion standard.
Yes.
So to say the court abused its discretion, would we have to disregard some of the items of expenses that Mrs. White incurs monthly, like the gym and the cable television and some of those other, aren't we then second-guessing the trial judge?
I don't think you're second-guessing him. I think you're looking at the evidence and saying that evidence shows his decision was untenable or unreasonable because paying for Netflix or a monthly charitable donation or $75 a month for dry cleaning is not a necessity of life. It is not food, shelter, clothing, or medical care. And she testified that during the course of these proceedings, she did not want for any of those, and neither did her legal dependents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That concludes arguments for the day. So the court is adjourned. Lawyers are excused, and traditionally what happens here is that we will take some questions from students or folks who are here to observe. We always caution you that we can't talk about the individual cases that were argued in front of you today, so we take away some of the